Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Welcome to episode 87 of the Panelcast. I'm your host, AJ, and with me, as always, is Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
So, Brian, it's been a while since we last recorded. What's been going on, man?
Quite a lot, actually. I ended up moving to Boston to start attending the University of Massachusetts Boston, so I've been pretty much running myself ragged, going to school and trying to work and everything. I don't know. I don't feel like I've had any days off yet.
Yeah. So officially, the reason why it's been 3 months since our last recording is it's Brian's fault.
Yeah, pretty much. Just been, I guess, too busy. I don't know. It sounds weird because they haven't really been busy the whole time, but yeah, things just haven't worked out with scheduling and trying to get stuff ready for school. So
yeah, okay. Well, honestly, I can't really blame Brian for all of it. It is partially my fault too. I've been doing some crazy work as well, but on the plus side, I've also been working on FP, and we have a lot of awesome news to tell you guys about. So. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break on that one, and then when we come back, we're going to give you our news stories like we normally do, and then we're going to be reviewing Moriarty by Image Comics, and then filling you guys in on what's been going on in Forbidden Panel Land. So, thank you for your patience, and we just ask you to hold on a little bit longer. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. I'm working with artist Anthony Diachidua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to dangercat.com and check it out. That's DangerCat.com. And please go over to Kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. All right, so we're going to go ahead and jump in here with some news, and we're not going to do quite as many news stories as we were doing before. So, AJ, what have you got for us?
Well, in TV news, Fox is developing a potential drama series based on DC Comics' long-running The Spectre, with John Doe scribe Brandon Camp penning the pilot script. The story will revolve around a former cop serving time in afterlife limbo who hunts down earthly criminals on behalf of the dead and mortals soon to be dead if ultimate justice is not served. For those of you that saw the Green Lantern anime, you saw the preview, the animated feature on the Spectre that came before it. Spectre's a really good character and is actually like a... he's like God's right hand. He comes down and extracts justice and whatnot on those that have fucked up or have not been caught. So I don't know how I feel about this as an actual TV show. If it's live action, I don't know if it'll play off well or whatnot. But, yeah, I'll still watch it because I'm a geek and I like stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like as far as live action superhero stuff kind of goes, like it doesn't really ever fare very well on TV. I mean, even with the strong start that Heroes had, it still, kind of petered out after a while. So
right, it still fizzled out and didn't go anywhere. I mean, and even with the recent reboot of Wonder Woman, it didn't even make it past the pilot, and I've had a chance to watch that tripe and it was crap. Not saying that Adrian Pilecki did not do a good job as Wonder Woman. It was just the storyline and everything was bullshit. So if they keep true to the stories, then it has a lot of potential. But as long as they don't make it a teeny bopper show, then we should be fine. So, Brian, what you got?
There's actually some pretty big news from the world of DC. I think everybody probably already knows about this, but we're going to go ahead and talk about it anyway. But the DC New 52, which they decided they just wanted to go ahead and essentially retcon their entire lineup of franchises and just start everything over brand new, much to the chagrin of millions of nerds everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing a lot of mixed reactions as far as the New 52 go, and some people really love some of the storylines, some people really hate some of the storylines, and some people just don't want anything to do with it at all. For myself, I don't really have a problem with it. Like, I don't know. I think it's an extremely bold and probably fallacious move on DC's part, but I'm not terribly invested in a lot of DC's characters aside from maybe Batman. So I don't know. It doesn't really irk me, I think, as much as it would everybody else.
Well, I don't know. Even then, like, they just spent the past 2 years killing Batman, watching him walk the ghostly plane and travel through time, and then finally coming back and starting up Batman Incorporated. Like, it feels like with this reboot, they just wasted all that time. You know?
That is true. I mean, there was a lot of storylines that were being set up before they decided to just sort of, you know, change everything. So it was definitely a very strange move on DC's part.
Yeah, like, I don't understand it. And I read Flashpoint. I didn't, you know, read them as they were coming out. I waited till the entire run was done and I read all of them. And I didn't quite like that either. It just didn't make too much sense and I just didn't feel it. And then they're going into the DCNU, which I don't know about you, Brian, but it just makes me feel like they saw the success of the Ultimates comic line in Marvel and decided to try and do the same thing. They realized that, you know, in DC, in DC Comics, they say that there are 52 parallel universes to the current Earth that we're normally used to. And so what the DCNU is doing is saying that they're now rebooting into one of the other 52 parallel universes, and that is the mainstream. That is the constant, you know. And I don't know, man. I just don't feel it. It's just an excuse for them to reboot and recreate all the characters that we've gone to know and love and whatnot. It is interesting to see the alternate versions of them and storylines and whatnot, but I think they could have done that by creating a separate comic line like Marvel did with the Ultimates.
Right.
And still continuing on with what stories they currently have and the characters that we've grown to know and love.
Well, I do notice, too, that, you know, I mean, I've been following some of it, and I've read some of the comics that are coming out. I've noticed that they're sort of, like, giving themselves an out in case it's not successful at all, that they can just go back to the comics they were doing before and just sort of... I don't know if they're going to just be able to pick up all of the storylines that they had before. I don't really know if they're ending all of those other ones or if they're just, you know, like if they're sort of meshing all of the existing comic lines into the new 52 or unfortunately I don't have enough DC knowledge to know like all the little ins and outs of everything, but it seems like they're definitely setting themselves up to just take it all back in case it doesn't work out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know what, DC, Marvel's been doing this for years. It's called the X-Men and all of their alternate timelines that they rebooted and whatnot, Age of Apocalypse and all that shit. So maybe you may want to think about trying to do something else. Anyway, moving on. Future Films has reportedly optioned the film rights to the supernatural mystery comic Hope Falls. Tony Lee and Dan Boltwood created the comic about a girl who returns to her hometown after 20 years, who is then revealed to have been murdered by a group of men who are now prominent town citizens. Now she's out for some supernatural revenge. The comic was recently published in an Ultimate Edition. Future Films produced such recent efforts as The American and The Eagle. You know, I'm always happy to see when indie comics and whatnot get picked up for films and made into films. It's just, again, disappointing when they actually come out and they're nothing like the comic book. You know, that's a danger we all face. And I'm sure the creators of the comic book are just amped and excited that their book has been picked up and that they'll see their characters in a movie and whatnot. But they have to set themselves up for, you know, just be aware that it's not going to be everything you expect it to be.
Right.
In fact, I'm sure that bleeds into the next story that we're about to talk about with World War Z. Right, Brian?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, this is... World War Z is being... if anybody out there doesn't know, World War Z is currently being filmed and is becoming a movie. However, in a recent interview with MTV News, the director of the film stated that they are not really staying true to the canon of the book and are sort of branching out and kind of creating their own film for the movie version. So we've talked about this a lot before, where films of comics or books or some other type of media gets created and ends up varying wildly from the source material. And I kind of have mixed reactions to it a lot of times. I think it really kind of comes down to what is the intent, what is the goal of what the people are trying to do with the film. And in some cases, I think it works remarkably well. I'm hoping in this case that the director's vision is actually going to stay true to the themes of World War Z, so that despite the changes, it'll still feel like it's a part of that storyline.
Next time I see Max Brooks, I'm going to sit down with him and I'm going to interview him and ask him how he feels about the changes they're making to his story. Because, you know, they're taking something that we know and love and have grown up with. I mean, this book has been a foundation for so many zombie stories that are out there right now, including our own, that they just go and they change it. It's like, I don't know, man. It's like they're taking the Bible and just making it more exciting so that more people will be into it, you know?
I totally understand what you're saying, but at the same time, in the defense of filmmakers, you know, I mean, film is such a different medium than print or comics is, and it's really difficult, I think, a lot of times to directly translate a story that's in comic book form or novel form and make that work as a film. And sometimes I think the changes are necessary in order to be able to create something that still has the same sort of vibe to it. Now, that's to a degree, though. I mean, I will have to say that there are a number of times where I've come down and I've said, you know, this film just completely is pointless and bears no resemblance to the book or the comic or whatever it's based on, because they just didn't try. They changed so much that it doesn't work at all.
Right.
But I think that in many cases that it can work, and some people will probably disagree with me on this, but in the case of like the Watchmen movie, I thought was fantastic despite the changes, because they made the changes work in the context of the existing storyline. And they really, I mean, they tried really hard to keep a lot of this stuff as close to the comic as they could. But they did have to make a lot of changes, and I think the changes really worked in terms of not affecting the pace of the story and, you know, not affecting the way that the story outcome.
Right, but they didn't change the entire point behind the story. Like, Watchmen was still the Watchmen. They're changing the point of World War Z.
Well, it's my understanding from the interview and from just reading other stories about the World War Z movie is that what they're doing is sort of setting the timeline to just before the timeline of World War Z, where instead of, you know, it being the interviewer going around talking to people about their experiences and sort of like retelling the story of the zombie apocalypse from the perspective of people that survived it, it's going to be from the perspective of
the reporter
during the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, but see, that's what I don't like about it. I was looking forward to seeing the multiple flashbacks during the storylines and whatnot. I was looking forward to see how the zombie apocalypse affected all these different lives and what they're doing to move forward on. But now they're changing that whole point, their perspective. They're changing it to where this is happening during the zombie apocalypse. You know, and
I mean, I agree that, you know, there's some cause for concern for myself because of the changes. But at the same time, I think they're still kind of setting it up to have some of that feel in there, because the character that Brad Pitt is playing in this is supposed to be part of the UN. So it implies that he is going to be traveling around to different areas. And my understanding was that they're on some sort of like a giant ship that they use as sort of a mobile base to move around. So,
which again steals my entire Z-Chaos idea, fuckers. Jesus Christ. No, I hear what you're saying, and I do get that. I just think, for me personally, as a zombie movie watcher and whatnot, I'm really sick and tired of watching running from the apocalypse, of watching during the apocalypse. I'm still interested in seeing what happens to rebuild from the apocalypse. That's one of the reasons why I created ZKS. You know, that created a story in a world where we know it's zombies and we know how to deal with zombies. Will that matter? You know, that's what I liked about World War Z. The zombie apocalypse has already happened, and these are people that are surviving and trying to rebuild their lives and stuff afterwards. That coincide with stories that they're telling about how they survived the zombie apocalypse, or how it, you know, where were they when it started, and given the progressional timeline that they did in the book, I feel that, you know, that's the story I wanted to see. Now we're just watching another zombie outbreak film. You know, it.
Okay, yeah, I take your point from there. So I, you know, from that perspective, it definitely is a loss then because we're not getting that story. So I guess we'll just have to basically see what kind of treatment the film gets.
Yeah, well, we'll see it when it comes out. Moving on to our last story. Bruce Campbell has revealed a couple of new facts via Twitter about the upcoming Evil Dead remake he, Sam Raimi, and Robert G. Tappert are producing. First up, the big surprise is his character of Ash is currently not part of the script. Campbell confirmed the news before adding that Evil Dead remake is a retelling. All bets are off, and all involved love the new approach. Back in July, Campbell indicated he might possibly make a cameo in the film. No word if that's still the case. Production on the Federico Alvarez-directed feature commences early next year. How are you going to make an Evil Dead movie without Ash?
Well, you know, here's something that I've heard Bruce Campbell say himself is that, you know, he really can't do the Ash character anymore because, you know, he's too old to do it. Like he, you know, he's not really going to be able to continue portraying that character. So if they do an Evil Dead movie where they have the Ash character, somebody else would have to do it. So I think in this way, it's probably actually better if they, you know, just try it from a different approach. And, you know, I mean, it's Sam Raimi remaking his own film. So, I mean, it's got to work on some level, unless he just completely George Lucases the whole thing. And, you know, but I don't think that's the case because we'll still be able to go watch the original Evil Dead movie
Well, you know,
if this one sucked.
like I said, you know, it's cool if they're going to reboot it, remake it, whatnot, you know, awesome. But Ash is such the main driving character of the film, of the entire series, that to just leave him out, whether it's Bruce Campbell or not, at least the character of Ash, I think, should show up in it. If anything, I mean, we don't want to end up with another Indiana Jones, where eventually it's going to be the character, his son taking over the role and running forward with it. And we're stuck with watching Shia LaBeouf in a fucking franchise that we grew to love and now
Oh
hate,
man.
you
Now
know.
I'm all paranoid that Shia LaBeouf is going to end up being in the new Evil Dead movie.
Right. So, I don't know. I
I
don't know,
will
dude.
fucking stop that from happening. I don't care.
You hear that, officers? If Shia LaBeouf ends up dead, choked out somewhere, it's all because of Brian.
Hey, I never said that.
Yes, did.
I disavow that statement.
You just did. All I'm saying is that, you know, I would almost rather see Evil Dead: The Next Generation than to see a film on Evil Dead without Bruce, not
Well, maybe that's
Ash
what
in
we're
it.
gonna get. I mean, they're just in talks right now, so I mean, everything's still up in the air. I mean,
No, me angry. Me no like change.
yeah, I know. Nobody does, but I'm trying to take more of a lenient approach with movies, and that, you know, I have to wait until I actually see the movie before I can make a decision about it. I think that's the only way to be fair about it.
Well, no, I absolutely agree with you. We can't talk shit about a movie that hasn't even been made yet. You know, it's like, yeah, it just can't happen. All I'm saying
Unless it's going
is,
to have Shia LaBeouf in it and then talk shit.
yeah, well, agreed. But all I'm saying is, I don't know, be smart. All I'm saying is, audiences beware. It may be Shia LaBeouf in the new Evil Dead. So that's
All
it.
right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up all of the news stories that we've got for now. So why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Panelcast. All right, well, in this section of the Panelcast, we're going to go ahead and do a review of one of the books that we, that Brian has recently read in Moriarty. Go ahead, Brian, take it away.
Well, Moriarty is a, sort of an interesting comic book that's kind of goes along that whole thing of, you know, changing the series canon. The comic Moriarty basically sort of posits the storyline of what would happen if Moriarty killed Sherlock Holmes. And I don't think that's a spoiler because that happens right off the bat in the beginning of the comic. That's the whole premise right there. So just so you know, that's what it's about.
No spoiler alert there.
Yeah. So basically what happens is that Moriarty, the comic follows his perspective and he right off the bat kills Sherlock Holmes. And then after that sort of realizes that without Sherlock Holmes, he doesn't really have the same drive that he did before. And so he just kind of loses aim in his life and just kind of ends up, I guess sort of not really, retiring his super villainy, but he just kind of just stops doing it. He, you know, he just kind of goes, sinks into the woodwork and doesn't really do much of anything afterwards. He just kind of starts surviving and not really doing anything without that driving force behind him. And so he eventually, what ends up happening is he just sort of ends up becoming almost like the anti-Sherlock Holmes, where he starts doing investigative stuff, but for the seedier element, and gets kind of like jobs working for criminals and, you know, other unsavory types, but essentially doing the same kind of things that Sherlock Holmes was doing to track down Moriarty. So it's a very, very sort of interesting concept for a comic. Now, the comic deals with, at least with the primary storyline, is that Moriarty ends up getting hired by this government agent to track down Sherlock Holmes's brother.
Mycroft.
Yes, Mycroft Holmes, and is attempting to essentially find out what happens to him. And it, from that point on, it starts getting into this sort of like deeper, very, very Arthur Conan Doyle style mystery of like a lot of, you know, weird sort of secret societies and strange, almost kind of supernatural occurrences happening. And so it definitely has very much a feel of a Sherlock Holmes story, but with a dark overtone because it's Moriarty instead of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I kind of like the book. I mean, from what I've read of it, you know, I've only read like the first issue or so, and I thought it was really cool. I like when they take other perspectives or move forward from things like that, from what we know.
Right. I especially like it too, you know, when people take very well-established properties and sort of, you know, play around with them and change different elements and kind of see, you know, what things would be like from a different perspective. And I think that this comic really kind of captures that pretty well.
You know, everybody's always been interested in what happened to Sherlock Holmes after. Like, you know, right. What happened to his life moving further on. So I thought Daniel Corey did a great job in taking it from there and moving forward. I think it's an amazing concept and idea.
Mm-hmm. And I also have to say that I enjoyed the artwork for the book as well. I mean, I think we've discussed this so many times where I prefer this sort of non-traditional comic artwork, where I like the really sort of like kind of rough, sketchy look to comics.
Right.
You know, especially it almost has a little bit of a like Ben Temple Smith kind of flair to the art style. Not really the same drawing style, but, you know, that same kind of feel to it, where it has like a really sort of rough, you know, the characters are kind of rough and angular, like the just very use of a lot of rough shading and very much not like a Jack Kirby or Liefeld type of comic book art.
Right. No, and like I said, I dig the artwork as well. I thought it was pretty cool. I think they all did a really great job with the book itself.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I've only read the first two issues, so but I'm definitely looking forward to getting the other two and reading those as well, because I like interesting ideas, and as long as the story is compelling, I don't really give a crap, like how much the characters have changed if it's done in a way that captures my attention. And this comic book has done that. So, yeah, I mean, I want to keep reading it. And I definitely would like to see more work from the writer and the artist as well. I mean, I think these guys did a pretty great job, and I'd like to see try their hand at something else.
Yeah. Now, we've had a chance to sit down and actually talk to Daniel Corey at his release party that he did last night for the trade paperback collecting issues 1 through 4.
Which I'm jealous about.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to the interview and read a full review, Martin Bright of Fanboy Headquarters actually did a full review of the book for us and has posted it on the website. And we've included the interview on there as well, so you can have a chance to take a look at everything that, it's all about and hear about it from the actual creator's point of view. So head on over there right now and take a listen. Well, not right now. Finish our show first. And then head over afterwards and give it a listen and let us know what you guys think. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to catch everybody up on what Forbidden Panel has been up to.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
All right, we're back. So let's find out what's been going on with Forbidden Panel in the past 3 months. AJ?
Man, I don't know where to start, Brian. Actually, we've been so busy and so slammed with doing all this behind-the-scenes stuff that it's just – I don't know what to tell you, man. Just don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I kind of know. I mean, I haven't been there for it, but, we've been keeping in touch over the past 3 months, and so, you've been telling me a lot about what's been going on. So definitely you guys have been very, very busy. A lot of good things and really coming up for Forbidden Panel.
Yeah, that's what's nice about it. Initially when we started out the company, we just wanted to be able to publish comic books that nobody's read before and whatnot, and give people an option opposed to what normally are used to with comic books. Mm-hmm. And we've just grown so much from there. It's just been phenomenal. With the start of this year, we did the Inland Empire Comic Expo, which turned out phenomenally. I mean, it was just a great response and stuff. I knew going into it that, the Inland Empire really doesn't have a comic book outlet to go and hang out and bring people together and whatnot. So when we did this show, I was very surprised to see that a lot of people were actually behind it and into it. And the amount of people we got that showed up was just astounding. So, from there, it was kind of like a launch pad to what we're going forward with what we're doing now. First off, we have to say goodbye to a long-lost companion in Brandy. Not long-lost, but, a long-time companion in Brandy. Brandy has decided to move forward with future endeavors to help her own career. She is an established and printed author, and she just decided that that was the way she needed to go forward with her career. So she has stepped down from Forbidden Panel, and we'll miss her. There's no bad blood between us. Brandy's like a sister to me, and I will always love her and wish her good luck in moving forward. But we've also had the inclusion of new members of Forbidden Panel. First off, we have Owen Pierce, who's a phenomenal artist. You've seen some of his work done in the pinup contest and whatnot. He was working with Brandy on a story, but now has moved on to work on a story with another new member in Jason D. Graham. Jason has come up with an amazing concept for a comic book, and with him and Owen working together, possibilities are endless. And the book that they have that they're working on right now is, I gotta say, it's probably one of my favorites that I've seen out there. It's not even printed yet, and I already love the book. It's called Disciples of the Moon. I can't get too deep into what it's about because that would just give it away. But if you want, little snippets and random bits of artwork and see where it's going, you can go to disciplesofthemoon.com and check it out there. Also, pay attention to ForbiddenPanel.com because, we'll be posting about it as well. So yeah, we'd like to welcome those two new members. They're kicking ass and taking names with what they're doing. We've also been teaming up with Fanboy HQ in presenting the Inland Empire Comic Book Club. Essentially, we tried to do this a few years ago, but it kind of fizzled out. So we're taking...
Yeah, I think the last time that I went to one, we had, like, one person show up.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because we just didn't have the resources at the time to promote as heavily as we do now.
Right.
This time, we're taking a different approach to it. We have a meetup group going on about it. We have flyers and promotional material flying out about it. We already have, like, 15 interested people in doing it. What the Inland Empire Comic Book Club is, basically, it's just like a normal book club where everybody gets together at least once a month, maybe twice a month, and discusses some of the books that they've been reading. And then they agree on a book to read and then come back the following meeting and discuss it. Except with a twist, in this one we're doing it with comic books, trade paperbacks and whatnot. We're doing Fell this time, which is
an excellent comic.
Excellent comic. It's a book put out by Ben Tumblesmith and Warren Ellis that was made about 5 years ago. So this time, you know, we've got the books. We've got copies of the trade paperback that we're handing out to all the people that are interested in doing so. And then we're going to be meeting on September 26th at Augie's Coffee House in Redlands, California, where we'll be discussing the book. It's, like I said, it's looking like it's going to be a great meeting, and it's nice now that Forbidden Panel is not the only company being responsible for everything. It's nice having other companies join us and, again, creating the network that we've been trying to create for years now. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, for those that live under a rock and have not seen anything about it, Forbidden Panel is doing the Zombie Beauty Pageant on October 30th at the Fox Event Center in Redlands.
So if you're into necrophilia, it's the place to go.
Which means Brian is trying to sell everything he owns to get there as soon as possible.
Yep, come check out my Amazon store.
The Zombie Beauty Pageant will entail a talent contest as well as the swimsuit competition, formal wear competition, and the competition of what you were wearing when you were bitten. But we're not just judging you off your looks, we're judging you off your backstory as well. So contestants have to create a little bio about their character and how they got infected and what they'd done beforehand and afterwards and whatnot. So it's going to be amazing, dude. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So if you can, please make it out. We're still looking for more contestants. We have a decent amount now, but we're always looking for more. So please check out the website, Inland Empire Comic Expo, iecomicexpo.com. It'll have contestant forms, vendor forms. We're also selling tickets to it. It's only $10 to get in. We are requesting that you kind of wear a little formal wear or come in costume as well. Please do not dress as a zombie because we see zombies in the audience. We'll think they have escaped and may have to stick the zombie kill squad on you. It's for your own safety, people. So, yeah, that's what's been going on for the past 3 months, man. We got the new pinup contest, which just ended. Congratulations to Hannah Evans.
Yeah, a lot more fantastic work showed up for that.
Yeah, that was phenomenal work as well. That is being put together into the book. We are currently working on a Zombie Kill Squad calendar, which will include prints from previous pinup contests. We are judging as Justin is trudging along on issue one. It should be out pretty soon. We just got the prints back from last year's 24-hour comic book day, so we'll be putting that out soon. The pinup book, again, the second pinup book will be out in time. All the stuff will be out in time for the Zombie Beauty Pageant, which is taking place again on October 30th. So if you can make it out, you'll get your hands on some exclusive Zombie Kill Squad stuff. We just released a new book called El Super Maximo, written and drawn by Junior Ruiz, as well as lettering done by Brian. Yay, Brian. Put together by Justin White. You guys did a phenomenal job on the book, and it looks awesome, and it's getting a lot of great responses, so, you know, thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, I like the concept for that one, too, so.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get more of them coming across my desk.
Yeah. You will be. We're going to be keeping Brian busy here pretty soon with all the work that we got going on. We are, for those of you that haven't seen it yet, you can go to adamiswatching.com and see our new webcomic called Security. It's a collaboration from different artists with me writing the story.
It's deliciously violent.
Yeah, very violent. It's about the extreme measures that companies will take to make sure that their property is secured. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a monthly webcomic, unfortunately. It only comes out once a month, but it's worth the wait, trust me. We're also rebooting the comic Maids. We'll be doing working with Albert Carrion. If you're unfamiliar with the Maids webcomic, it's Maids stands for Meticulous Agents in Death, and it takes the viewpoint of, with all the celebrity deaths and whatnot happening, what if it's the cleaning ladies that are doing the killing, because they are the first ones to find the bodies. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun on that one, too. So, yeah, for Bin Panel, we're pretty busy and loving every second of it.
Mm-hmm. And I would just like to point out, too, that I'm also looking to start expanding the FP presence on the East Coast now that I'm living in Boston. So I want to definitely sort of, you know, get multi-coastal on everyone's ass.
You know what? You're at a big school. There's no reason why you can't find more people to do Geek Girls.
Yeah, that is a good point, too. I mean, I've definitely got, you know, I'm in like a cultural hub of, you know, nerddom here. So I mean, there's got to be something that I can find. And I mean, there's going to be a wealth of people to talk to. And I should definitely be able to find and get something going for Geek Girls, because I would like to get that really going as a series and not just as a sort of like, you know, infrequent interviews.
Absolutely. It'd be nice to see more coming from him. So anyway, so that's what Forbidden Panel has been up to. We want to once again apologize for the length of time that it took for us to record. Life sometimes just get in the way, but we'll try to do better. Seems like every episode we're apologizing for how long it's been. But this is the biggest break we've taken in a long time. We hope you, we appreciate your fans for coming back and listening to us, and we hope you like the new reboot of the show we're doing. We're going to try and make it quicker and faster and a lot more entertaining than it was before. So there you have it.
Yeah, give us our feedback. You know, let us know what you think, if you hate it or you love it, or, you know, you want to hear more Blue Water reviews.
Yay. Blue Water reviews.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the Panelcast.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next show. Hopefully it won't be too long between shows. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you later.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.